Welcome to the Christian Science Monitor. I'm Philip Moore for Radio Reading Services. This week I'm reading from the August 5th, 2019 edition of the Christian Science Monitor Weekly. The cover story this week, Roughing It with 300 Thread Count Sheets by contributor Michael S. Hopkins. How glamping is changing what we do in the great outdoors. Normally, we listen to an introductory article by editor Mark Sappenfield, which provides some background and context for the main article. However, editor Sappenfield's column does not relate directly to the cover story this week. So we're going to jump right into the cover story, Splendor in the Mesquite. Why people want tents with king-size beds, showers, and maybe even a butler in the wild. Southern Utah. It's just past dawn and my wife and I stop for coffee. Well, I'm getting coffee. Melanie's getting Mountain Dew at the last gas station for miles in Torrey, Utah. Quote, Torrey, the middle of nowhere, explains a dusty t-shirt in a sales bin, and that's the way we like it. End of quote. A friendly man fixing his coffee next to me asks, out here camping? Sorta, I say. We're glamping. Glamping, he repeats. Short for glamorous camping, I tell him. All the camping, none of the work. Tents all prepped for you. Beds, French soap, campfires you don't have to build. He looks at me narrowly for a moment and adds some creamer. Ah, the army tents. Not army, I say. Safari. Right, he says, and laughs. Well, that sounds pricier. Then he says, looks like it could be cool, though. And then he's off, tucking himself into a 30-year-old Porsche, retooled with matte painting and off-road tires, before I can parry his skepticism with my data. How Google searches for glamping just reached 100 times their total a decade ago. How private equity investors decided that even minority stakes in modest eight-site glamping chains are worth $17 million. How glamping established its hottest hotbed in southern Utah, much of which my wife and I are traversing as we speak. My wife being monitor photographer Melanie Stetson Freeman, whose pictures document the trip. I would have told him how glamping is a full-on thing. The word thing in the article is italicized, which is why we are on the road for this summer travel piece in the first place, putting it to the test. Exactly what is glamping anyway? Is there a secret to why it's grown so hot? What's it like to do it? What I could not have told him, because I only learned it later, is that there's another story here too. Because, whatever else it may be, glamping is also a mirror, showing us something about our 21st century lives, our social media fixations, our compressed existences in cubicles, our dreams of adventure, but not without 300 thread count sheets. And I could not have told him about Amy Affeld and glamping's tipping point. The day in July 2017 when Ms. Affeld, proprietor of the Utah glamping site Base Camp 37 Degrees, looked out past one of her luxury tents and wondered, why is that girl twirling in my sagebrush? Turns out there are reasons. Reasons why glamping happened at all. Reasons why we hit peak glamping now. Reasons for the twirling. So we fuel ourselves in Torrey and head out to look for them. From Torrey, we follow the Fremont River through Capitol Reef National Park toward Moab and the first of three glamp grounds. That's GLAMPGROUNDS. We'll sample and we'll get to that. But first, you'll have some questions, or at least a handful of our friends did, when A recent dinner party morphed into an impromptu glamping question and answer. First question, really? Glamping? Answer, yep. Somebody mashed up glamorous and camping, and it stuck. Genius, really. It made the Oxford English Dictionary in 2016. The next question, okay, so what makes camping glamping? What's the difference? Answer, the bed, for starters. Melanie and I enjoyed three of them, all king size, all artisanally styled, and astonishingly comfortable. And all, this might go without saying, but is ultimately the point, already set up when we got there. Says Sarah Dussek, co-founder of Under Canvas, one of the premier glamping chains in the United States, glamping offers you everything you love about camping without everything you hate, the hassle of the setup, and sleeping on the ground. Beyond that, even glamping providers themselves debate definitions. Scan the 35,000 glamping possibilities on Glamping Hub, a kind of Airbnb for the industry, and you'll find treehouses, yurts, small cabins, decommissioned Airstreams, Conestoga wagons, teepees, and every manner of tent. And you'll find them in locations ranging from off-grid wilderness to subdivision, in an existing campground with recreational vehicles stacked nearby, to the marginally private yard of someone's marginally rural house. All of these count as some form of unique camping accommodation, end of quote, that can be bundled under the glamping rubric, says Toby O'Rourke, Chief Executive Officer of Campgrounds of America, the world's largest campground chain. KOA offers at least one of these forms at roughly 100 of its 520 locations. The next question. Wait, I could be glamping in a treehouse? Nah, for our purposes, let's stick to the emerging standard and stipulate that real glamping involves, number one, a tent, number two, with a bed to die for, number three, in nature, plus a fire experience, as industry people call it, and s'mores. For some reason, there are always s'mores. No joke, the s'mores fire is where Melanie and I met our fellow glampers, couples, families, dogs, because it convened people in a way conventional campgrounds don't. Next question. And this is legitimate phenomenon? It is. So is camping in general, topped by glamping as a standout. More Americans camped in 2018 than during any other year in history. And of the 78 million who journeyed into the woods, half said they plan to, quote, experience glamping, end quote, in the coming year, more than double the prior year's response. Next question, is it expensive? Answer, can be, but prices vary madly. Glamping Hub shows plenty of options below $100, but once you're into the kinds of digs you always see in pictures, prices rise. On our trip, we paid a low of $159 and a high of $274. The latter, a tent with a shower, wood stove, and leather chairs. Of course, if your tastes are more refined, you can try the resort at Paws Up, that's PAWSUP in Montana, where a one-bedroom tent can top $2,600 a night. In all fairness, that includes your meals and a butler. Rule of thumb, glampy usually costs about the same as a good bed and breakfast, but if you're a plutocrat, you can find places to spend like one. food, bathrooms, Wi-Fi, electricity for my laptop. How much civilization is there in the wild? The critical fact to recognize is that for all the glam, what's mostly happening here is camping. The cook is mostly you. The Wi-Fi, mostly non-existent. The bathrooms, mostly shared. Of course, offerings vary. We were always given batteries to charge our phones. Twice, we had private baths. In one place, under canvas in Zion, had a cafe where we enjoyed a foodie-level dinner. Generally, we made breakfast on one of the communal grills, oatmeal with raisins and chopped nuts, and had dinners, like most glampers, at restaurants in nearby towns. And then we had the s'mores. Next question. All this sounds a lot like camp cabins of yore, only in canvas. Could it be just a fad? Answer. Maybe. Though seriously, those beds are not to be underestimated. How does it feel? Really? Let's see. It's afternoon when Melanie and I arrive at Under Canvas's Moab location, to find a winding gravel drive, rolling land, and scattered in the brush some 40 safari tents like the color of desert bone. Our greeter, everyone gets a greeter, is Marguerite Quarif, late of drama school, and it shows in a good way. We park, throw our luggage on a golf cart, and are piloted to our tent. Deluxe, this time, $274 a night, a private bath included. There's a platform, weathered like bark, a canopy-shaded porch, two chairs. We unzip the tent flaps, unzip the bug screen, and enter an interior designed as though Teddy Roosevelt might show up. Miss Quarif orients us. Everyone gets oriented. She explains the pool chain shower and green toiletries. The on-demand water heater, the wood stove, the phone chargers, the white noise machines, and adjustable lanterns, and battery-powered fans. The rules. Quiet after 10! Exclamation point. Don't step on the desert crust! Another exclamation point. The menu for optional food delivery, like room service, but with a higher markup. Suddenly, a violent wind kicks up. Don't worry, shouts Miss Quarif. Those babies can handle 60 miles per hour. She points at the snapping tent, the straining anchor ropes. In the distance, a rainstorm sweeps over Arches National Park and the far LaSalle Mountains, still snowy even though it's 92 degrees in Moab. Lightning jumps. Tonight, Miss Quarif is telling us there will be a guitar player by the fire, and s'mores. Nearby glampers might be playing cornhole, bocce, badminton, an adult-sized Jenga, she says. There are yoga mats. Options. Or, I'm thinking Melanie and I could just sit in our tent on our tent porch, facing the opposite direction, and watch the light change over a cream and violet landscape that's wild for 50 miles. We could savor the desert air, cooling 30 degrees on our skin. Meanwhile, the bed looks, well, amazing, and I want to try it. I start hauling out our luggage from the golf cart when my photographer wife hollers above the wind, "Don't put our junk in yet. I've got to do this before we mess it up." Photographers. So while she squats and pirouettes and aims her various lenses at who knows what, I wait and listen again to the wind against the tent. and watched the sandstone fins and towers of arches alternately glow and dissolve in skittering patches of sun. And I'm thinking, I just got here, but I could get used to this. More questions, again in question and answer format. If this glamping thing is so good, why didn't it happen before? Answer, that's the $1 million question. Maybe the $1 billion question, since $1 billion is what the glamping industry is forecast to reach by 2024, according to the hospitality research firm Ariston. From its inception in 2005, when the term glamping first appeared, through its early bloom in Europe to its U.S. introduction by Under Canvas in 2012, outside Yellowstone, glamping looked a lot like the sort of innovation that happens in every industry, a minor tweak of an already existing phenomenon. Hey, what if instead of permanent cabins, we had permanent tents? What if instead of cots, we had beds? What if instead of camping, we called it glamping? Everyone we talk to also has a theory about why it's so popular. It's about a new practicality, says Basecamp 37 Degrees. So 37 Degrees is Miss Affeld, especially among millennials. Young people today increasingly don't own cars, use Uber, or homes, rent little apartments, or the gear that conventional campers need. Where are you going to put all that stuff, says Ms. Affeld. So, you somebody else's. Then there's the desire millennials, empty nesters, virtually everyone, have to escape the tyranny of their devices to actually feel like a family or bond with a friend. It's what Under Canvas executive May Lilly calls a hunger for experiences more than things. End of quote. People are so disconnected, says Niana Bodycombe, a New York glamping aficionado and part-time Basecamp 37 Degrees host. For a while, we've been so all about Silicon Valley and our devices and every neat new thing, but now we see what it cost us. Part of that cost, says experts, is society-wide stress, to which campers think a tent and beautiful tableau is a perfect antidote. Since 2012, the North American Camping Report by Karn Consulting Group, underwritten by KOA, has tracked what campers hope to get out of the experiences in the wild. The two highest-ranked impacts are different kinds of stress reduction, and among camping styles, glamping may be the most soothing. You slow up. Maybe you even stop, says Rachel Rode, guest experience coordinator for Under Canvas Moab. We do the work for you. None of these factors, though, not the practical issues, nor the prizing of the real over the virtual, nor the stress reduction, would likely have caused glamping to catch fire without the accelerant of social media. And by social media, we mean Instagram. For even as people are fleeing to their Ritz-Carlton tents to escape their devices, many are using their devices to chronicle their time in Ritz-Carlton tents. In this brave new age of online influencers, says Ms. Lilly, nothing has spread glamping like the testimony of the proliferating mommy bloggers, luxury travel diarist, and RV nomads, Instagramming as they go. Even children are posting travelogues about their experiences on YouTube. Peer-to-peer means far more than any paid advertising I could do, she says. Which brings us to the sagebrush twirling that Ms. Affout has grown so accustomed to. After all, what's more Instagrammable than someone posing amid the mesquite or in a lantern-lit safari tent at the golden hour on a grassy encampment? What's a better backdrop for, well, you? For you living your best life in pictures. Oh my gosh, you should see them, says Ms. Rode, all of them looking for stories to tell. They see glamping on Instagram and say, I've got to do that. We've got girls that come decked for the photos, the hats, the dresses. I mean, it's a blast, obviously, but I still can't help asking them, you bring any hiking boots? And they do. Ms. Rode thinks about it. Sometimes she says, since, you know, the hikes are pretty Instagrammable too. As it happens, Melanie and I have brought hiking boots, and as we glamp, we manage to use them in four of Utah's famous Big Five national parks, including Bryce Canyon, on what has to be the most beautiful walk in the world. But that's another story. Most days we rise early to beat the heat, to miss the crowds, but not so early that we miss hearing each camp come to life. As the morning light grows from cobalt to lavender to rose across the view beyond the open tent flap, you can catch the tiny sounds, footfalls on gravel, a tent zipper, campground sounds, the sounds of a community in open air, but peculiarly crystalline, like the way voices sound when they carry from your blanket across a beach. From Moab and the Arches, we circle south to Kanab and Miss Affeld's place at Base Camp 37 Degrees, where our tent is so close to Arizona that a sign in the brush divides time zones between mountain and Pacific. From there, we skirt Bryce again and pass through Zion National Park to another of Underground Canvas's locations on Zion's western edge. Another terracotta canyon, more stands of juniper, taller spires of silvered granite, another stage set of the spectacular American West. And maybe here is where we should note a fact that it would be irresponsible not to acknowledge, despite feeling too cliched to mention, which is this. You can't cross the American West without thinking 1,000 times a day how unconscionably, inexpressibly, unfathomably beautiful this is. So beautiful, it would be stupid to try describing it. Even the delicious photographs on these pages can't quite take the beauty's measure because they miss the third dimension of it, the sheer exhilaration of the expanse, the silence, the air. In parentheses, please don't tell my wife. Cliched though it is, the beauty matters. Glamping isn't glamping without it. And maybe one of the things glamping is trying to show us is that when it comes to beauty like that, none of us should be too long without it either. The final section in the article. Last question. This one voiced by a friend who looked at Melanie's photos and listened to our stories and was plenty envious, but still paused. Still sad. Question. I don't know. What's the magic? Looks cool, but would I like it? Should I glamp? The answer. Depends, I tell her. Keep in mind, there could be crying kids four tents over, and your neighbor could decide to fly his swarm of bees sounding drone before breakfast. Sometimes it's too hot. Sometimes it's too cold. Sometimes it rains, and you need a poncho to reach the bathroom. It's camping. Weather happens. People happen. But maybe You like the weather and feel like you haven't been in it enough. Maybe you sleep better in the cold. The linen comforter helps. Maybe you haven't been surprised enough lately and haven't seen nearly enough beauty. Maybe you'd like a reason to put down your phone. It turns out there is a secret to glamping in the end. It's almost too obvious. The secret is the tent. Maybe glamping really is just a cabin with canvas walls. Maybe it's those canvas walls that make all the difference. How thin a membrane they are. How little they separate you from whatever is on the other side. From the wind that moves the tent flanks like they're breathing. From the creaking poles lashed together with ropes. From all the beauty that's so close. When you're glamping, there's all that preposterous comfort, of course, but there's also the camping. The world is greatly with you, and you feel it. And whatever everyday cocoon you come from is gone, because the moment is just too present to be escaped. So, how does glamping feel? Like that, I tell our friend. It feels like that. How does that sound? To which she says, perfect, I'm in. Then she smiles, and I know just what to wear. We have a few brief minutes left in our time together. I'm scanning over the photographs to see if any of the photographs have suitable captions. Here we have the largest photograph of the series of photographs with the article. The caption underneath that reads, glamping tents at Under Canvas Zion sit among the sagebrush near Zion National Park in Utah. In the foreground, you see the canvas tents as described in the article, and in the scenery, we see the mountaintops. These are the red rock formations that are famous out west, and you see, of course, sagebrush. Here is a description of the tent from the looking inside. This is the photograph that the author's wife stopped him from putting the things in the tent before she snapped it. Here is a pretty good description of it. It is a tent with a king-size bed in it, and you have two canvas chairs sitting next to the tent, and it looks like a fur-type rug on the floor. The caption underneath the photograph reads, a glamping tent at Under Canvas Moab in southern Utah sits on a wooden platform and is equipped with a king-size bed, full bathroom, and other civilized accoutrements. You see a lantern and I don't see any electronics, but of course that's not the point. But you can see the bathroom accommodations. There is a shower combined bathroom area at the far end of the tent. You're looking in the tent from the opening through the flaps. And with that, we are out of time for the Christian Science Monitor this week. I'm Philip Moore for Radio Reading. Thanks for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the article. Join me again next week when we take a look at another edition of the Christian Science Monitor Weekly here on the radio that reads to the Tri-State, WRRS